Welcome to Fujoshi Weekly, the show for the spiciest part of the fandom and My Hero Academia shippers everywhere. I'm your host, Defna, and I'm here with Ash.
Hi.
And Angie.
Hi.
We've just watched the BL OVA, Twittering Birds Never Fly, Don't Stay Gold, an adaptation from the manga Saezuru Tori wa Habatake Nai. And we've got some words to verbalize about it. And we love it. We're going to talk about it. We're also going to spoil the shit out of it. So if you haven't watched it now, it's going to be the best 20 minutes of your life. Do it now.
Do it now. Do it.
Do it.
Yeah, especially if you've seen the movie. Go and watch this.
It's good shit.
I'd like to mention that we already did an episode about the Twittering Birds Never Fly, the Clouds Gather movie. And it came out before the OVA, even though the plot of the OVA canonically happened before the plot of the movie. So if you read the manga or saw that movie, check out episode 14. And I guess we won't repeat, like, we went in deeper about who created this, what's the story, technical details. But I will say that Twittering Birds Never Fly is an explicit BL about a Yakuza syndicate and its intrigues and power struggles. And the Don't Stay Gold OVA shows a part of the story before Yashiro and Domiki met and focuses on how Kanji Kageyama, the handsome doctor with the soul of an old grumpy man, and
sandals.
I love him so much. It's so like,
yes.
It's such a big, like, I don't give a fuck anymore energy, like flip-flops or sandals in anime.
Yeah, he also has dead energy. Daddy energy.
Daddy and dad, both.
Yeah.
Yes, both.
And Enshin Kuga, the broken and sexed up rebel, and how they get together. And as you can see, I really love making up descriptions for the characters.
I love how you introduce them, Daphne. It's really cute.
I think the listeners should be horny for the characters before we start.
We need to get it ramped up a little bit.
Especially Kuga and sexed up. I mean,
God.
Why does he have to sleep so lewd? And why does he always
like
have to...
He sleeps like a fucking slut. Why is he like this?
He's always grabbing his titty.
He's always like seductively... Like
showing his tummy, like it's everybody's business. Like
it's a good tummy. It's a hot tummy.
It's a hot tummy.
Mm-hmm. So before we dive into the plot, I'll go over some technical details. So Don't Stay Gold is the part of the story that opens the manga. It's the first chapter of the first volume. And so the first chapter has the same name. And last episode, Angie revealed that the animation studio of this OVA and movie, Studio Grizzly, is rumored to be affiliated with MAPPA. And you can even see those rumors on the Wikipedia page, so it's not that much of a rumor. And I mean, we all love MAPPA. They did Jujutsu Kaisen and Attack on Titan and Yuri on Ice and Banana Fish. And so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and just one problem with MAPPA is that they take on too much stuff. And I don't think it's really healthy how they operate.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of critique on, like...
Yeah.
They take whatever they get offered and they do a really good job. And it's like way too much. It's kind of scary.
But they did a lot of stuff that we all love, so...
Yes.
True.
And when I saw that the ending credits of the OVA, MAPPA was listed several times, more than any other studio I can spot. I saw them under animation, animation inspection, and finishing. And if those don't make sense as like roles, it's because I'm directly translating what I saw. I have no idea.
They sound correct. So,
what is finishing? It literally says like finishing or finish.
And I'm maybe like, finishing like touches.
Finishing touches.
Where MAPPA outsources the finishing touches to some poor other guys who do the dirty work for them. And
But it's probably like it's official MAPPA. It says like it mentions like MAPPA Tokyo and MAPPA some other city. So those parts were, I hope not outsourced.
We never know with that studio.
We never know with anything in the anime industry. Yes. So hard to get like legit information.
Let's dive into this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the OVA starts with the same scene that started the movie, where Kuga beats the shit out of Yashiro's underlings, and Yashiro just stands there smoking a cig, like chilling. It's so weird.
He's just like whatever. I mean, yeah. Well, I think he's smart, because it's like if he gets in the way, like obviously this guy is not in a right mental kind of state. He's probably gonna get his ass kicked.
Yeah. Yeah, Yashiro doesn't look like the kind to like do physical fights. Like,
well, not like too much. Like, I think he does a little, but like not. Obviously, he doesn't get his hands dirty that way often.
We also know from the movie that Yashiro, he wanted Kageyama to meet this guy.
True.
So
yeah, we know from the
probably
movie.
Probably he's there just waiting for Kageyama to
show up.
To show up and see his plan unfold.
Right. Well, because he knows that this guy is his type. You know, he knows like, from the start.
Even though, like, Kageyama isn't supposed to have a type, because he's like, that's the first guy he's been with.
But, right.
But Yashiro knows. Yashiro knows.
Yeah.
He knows the fetish.
And he also tells Yashiro, like, "Wait, did you pick this guy up in a host club? He's kind of handsome."
Right. Well, the thing is like, they've known each other since high school, Yashiro and Kageyama. Mm-hmm. So it's like, obviously, he knows a lot more about him than your average Joe. So,
mm-hmm. And it works.
Especially Yashiro knows a lot about Kageyama, but Kageyama is like not spending enough thoughts about Yashiro. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Which we'll see later too.
Mm-hmm. And it works really well, because when Kageyama sees Kuga for the first time, it's like this really bloody violent glamour shot of like slow motion blood flying in the air.
Just bloody beautiful mayhem, just chaos. Yes.
Beautiful chaos.
And he just loves it. He beats the shit out of this guy and he keeps doing it for so long, and and Koga's just enjoying the crap out of it. He's like goading him. It's like, this guy's barely even conscious anymore. Like, who are you talking to?
And he's like, don't stop me now, because I'm having a good time. He's really having so much fun.
Yes. Just beating the shit out of this guy.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
And they tell him, like, or, you know, they're like, why do you do this? And he's like, well, once the blood goes to my head, it's just like, I can't think anymore. So that's how he gets his nickname of a mad dog, which is, you know, basically what they call, like, especially like in school and stuff, kids that just like get off from beating the shit out of other people.
It's so funny.
Or that just go too hard on a consistent basis.
Mm-hmm.
It's like such a shitty name in English, and it's not even like what they say in Japanese. Like, it's not the literal translation.
No, but it's always what it's translated to.
Yeah, it's true.
What does it say in Japanese?
I have no idea. Like, I think they said like kenka, which means fight.
Yeah, something like that.
The other word I tried but couldn't figure out, but yeah. Well, it's still better than like Yashiro's public toilet nickname. It's like anything
else
is better.
That's a better nickname than public toilet.
I guess so. Well, at least Yashiro wears it with pride. So
yeah.
He does. He knows what he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Yashiro has been a little piece of shit. He's trying to recruit Kuga. And he lied to him about owing money and canceled his apartment lease and kidnapped him to that alley. And that's why Kuga beats the shit out of his underlings.
Did he lie about owning money? Because the way I see it, Kuga owns Yashiro money.
It looks like it. Like in the OVA, it's being said that he lied. Maybe I can try to listen to check it out again for a second and see. But yeah, it does look like later in the OVA that he does owe money to Yashiro.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They went to his house, they stole all his money, his cards, and they dragged him out to beat him up. But I guess Kuga turned the tide.
Yeah, he won. And this is in turn, like, because he's been wanting to recruit this guy for a while now. Mm-hmm. And he can't get him to join his syndicate. So he gives him to Kageyama to what, babysit until he agrees? Of. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Like, Kuga wakes up in the clinic and then, like, the first thing he does is, like, headbutts Kageyama to return the punch.
The favor for the punch. Yes.
Yeah. Very romantic.
Yashiro is so... He's laughing so dirtily in the background.
Yeah, yes, he's us. Yashiro is just us in this anime. He just gets a kick out of it.
Like this OVA, like this entire thing is like too funny. Like, why is it so funny all the time?
Well, there's a lot of humor in Twittering humor. Birds.
Yeah, yes, I love it.
For being so extremely dramatic and sad at times. And disturbing, it has quite a lot of humor, and I like
and
it.
It's sexy. Mm-hmm. It's also porn. Let's not forget.
Yes, yes, of course.
So in the morning, they wake up in Kageyama's apartment, and Kageyama spends like several long moments staring at Kuga's exposed stomach and his cigarette burns before waking him up for breakfast. And did we see the scars in the movie or
no,
is it like their first appearance?
Yes. No, we didn't see them in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't see a lot of Kuga and Kageyama in the movie, just in at the doctor's practice and when they went to a bar.
But wasn't there the part with the hidden camera where it filmed them making out?
Yes.
So Kuga explains that his scars are old and done by his parents, and he seemed to have made peace with them. And we also learned that he hasn't seen his parents in 10 years, where he spent his time in the detention center, and that's probably why he's being like a host, which is a nice word for prostitute, I guess.
Well, a host is not a prostitute. They can be. There are a lot of businesses where it does turn sexual, but typically it's supposed to just be like a date prostitute where you just go on dates with people and get paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously some people will do more for more money and then it puts a bad name on
the
business.
Although he says in the end that he's a virgin.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's not like he is, you know, a prostitute. He's a host.
Yeah.
Which is, he's keeping his business ethic clean.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, you can tell because his flirting game is so strong.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, God.
It really is. He's really, really flirty all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It never turns off.
For fun.
He makes Kageyama flustered so many times.
It's so
like,
cute.
Like, spit his drink.
Yes.
Even tells him, oh, you're blushing. How so cute.
Mm-hmm. I love this dynamic, honestly.
Mm,
and like
the
seemingly like the younger one kind of tempts the older one.
Mm-hmm.
Kuga also mentions that Yashiro said he knows that he can't lead a normal life, but he's okay with that. And he just like doesn't want to join Yashiro because he wants to defy him and decide on his own place where he belongs.
Yeah.
It's like a really, like really beautiful segment where it's like, I don't know, it seems so genuine. I just like it. The writing is so good.
Mm. He doesn't want to be pushed onto a path. He wants to choose the path himself in his life.
Like, and he knows he's fucked, but he still wants like some control.
It's cute that he has hope that that Yashiro won't get his way.
Because he will.
Yashiro always gets his way.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, later we see a bit of their domestic life together, which is super cute, and Kageyama complaining about the shitty curry that Kuga makes. That has honey and chunks of apple for some reason, like huge chunks of apple in the curry.
And he reasons it like, you know, that's what they said on the TV. And Kageyama is so like cute. Literally shavings. You don't just cut up chunks of apple and put it in curry and call it good. Like, that's not how this works.
Mm-hmm. But then it's okay because Kuga lifts his shirt as an apology or a service.
He does. He gives him a service, which is meant as an apology.
He flashes his tits every occasion. He sleeps with his hands on his tits and his shirt up and an exposed belly. He lifts
like,
up.
Like, man.
What's with this guy?
I wish I he could sleep so got- hot.
He knows he's got a lot to offer and he uses it to his advantage.
And that's like so, like, he's so hot and he's so efficient that he's seducing people in his sleep. Like, imagine being this powerful. I could never. Yes.
Literally, though.
And it works because Kageyama gets affected a lot.
Mm-hmm. He does. He ends up groping the shit out of him one day. Mm-hmm. Just, and it was supposedly too hot to cuddle or anything, but he ended up groping his scars because he's got that weird scar fetish.
That's where he spills the bean. Like, he was so affected. Like, listen, you have to know. Oh, man. Like, I was watching the Clouds Gather movie before I saw the OVA. And there, like, he mentions that he has, like, a secret fetish that Yashiro knows. And I was, like, so intrigued. And, like, you can't just say that and leave me hanging. Like, please tell me. Maybe hint at it. Like, I'll give you, like, the BDSM test and figure out with the result. Like, please tell me. But now I know.
I forgot that people that watched the movie didn't know. So I guess coming at it from that direction is different because I knew that going into it. So it has to have been frustrating for you, Dana, to not know.
But yeah, it was very... But now I know, I'm very pleased.
You like quirky shit like that, where it's just random. Okay, burn just marks like a random. Specifically.
Well, next we see them at the clinic again, where Kageyama's hand is just shaking so bad as he pulls out a bullet with a medical laser.
Because he's a shitty doctor. He literally has the most unsteady hand ever. I think they mentioned it. In the Clouds Gather, that he doesn't have a still grip. He's always shaking, but he's a doctor.
It's so funny and so, like, it's so cute. Like, you can see how frustrated he is.
Right?
He just wants to be a doctor. He had dreams and aspirations.
I love that whole scene. I really did, because...
It's so
Yashiro
funny.
Is still all over Kuga and wants to scout him.
Yeah.
Yes.
And like when he doesn't, he's like, Yashiro goes like, so did you fuck yet? And Kuga's like, of course we did. That pervy old man can't get his hands off me.
Here is where the comedy comes in again, because they have this guy with the bullet that that the Kageyama just pulled out of his body, and he's still laying there in pain.
Miserable.
And Yashiro goes to Kageyama and says, so, did you fuck him? I don't know what he does to this poor guy, but he starts screaming like, he probably just, I don't know, pushed into his wound or something because he was startled.
The last thing I ever want to do is be treated by a Yakuza doctor. Like, I feel like that'd be the worst thing ever.
While he's being teased by the Yakuza boss, I mean.
Well, the next scene is the worst. Things start to get, like, spicier in the, like, hot, sweaty summer day at Kageyama's porch. Where Kageyama doesn't let Kuga turn on the AC. And boy, this is the biggest display of dad energy ever. Like,
it is. We gotta turn the fan.
And let then he sits in front AC. Of the fan just to spite him.
Just to be
him.
A bitch.
Yes.
Literally.
Yeah.
But, and then they end up cuddling anyway.
Yeah. I'm not mad, because any excuse where Kuga has to wear a tank top is... legit and great, and he should always wear a tank top.
He should always be allowed to be as naked as he wants to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he wants to be.
After the clinic, actually, you see Kuga sitting in front of the TV when Kageyama gets home, and he's basically naked. He has just his underwear on because it's a freaking hot. And Kageyama asks him to put on some clothes. And he's like,
he can't be sitting around like that.
Yeah, what's your problem? Boys. We're both guys. And he's like, well, with you, it's different.
It's no joke. Like,
it's no joke.
Basically warning him that if you don't put on clothes now, I'm going to put my penis into you.
And this is where Kuga is like, oh, well, look at here. Mm-hmm. And of course, he teases him there when they have their little fan discussion. And well, it ends with Kageyama
dry humping.
Yes, while touching his scars. Yep. And it's kind of sweet.
It's sweet. It I love that. But then Kageyama turns into an asshole and he avoids Kuga and he makes plans to meet with a woman and Kuga's mad at him.
Yep. And then Yashiro fucking sticks his nose into it.
Yeah. And Kageyama is so mean too. Like before he basically makes Kuga runs off, he's like, I touched your scars out of pity.
Pity? Like,
who are you trying to fool? You fool.
Right? You pervert. Like nobody gets a boner touching
your fetish like every day since Kuga came. Or displayed it in some way or another. Like, don't be an asshole now.
He's running away. He's thinking about it later that
he
thinks Kuga is too dazzling for him.
Mm-hmm. Well, also, isn't he, like, quote-unquote straight? Like, obviously he's in love with Yashiro, but he, for the most part, he's been dating women.
Yeah, and he's been saying, like, I don't need men to satisfy my urges.
He's a gay in denial.
He's a gay in denial.
Yeah, it's such an old, like, BL trope. I guess you see
it. I never get tired of it.
Me too. It's so, like, outdated, but I fucking love it. I fall for it every time.
Every time, every single time. No, like, give me the most homophobic, straight in the closet gay you can find, and I will gobble that shit up.
Same.
And watch him struggle. I just love it.
And I find it funny that when Kuga leaves, he says, "You impotent something." And I'm like, what's with this show and being impotent?
Well, the thing is, I mean, impotent, like, that's just a common, like, insult in Japan for someone who doesn't want to fuck you, is you just call them impotent and it's okay.
I mean,
it's a thing. So I think Yashiro, when he found out about Domeki, that's his name, right? Or is it someone?
Yeah.
He probably just thought it was hilarious because he's actually
maybe. Because that word is thrown around so casually, and I guess it's like Kuga paved the way for Yashiro to throw this word out.
Right.
And so after that, Kageyama meets Yashiro again, and Yashiro kind of like, where's your Kuga? Like, where is he? And but he pushed him away. And I love how Yashiro keeps pushing.
Oh, he's pushing hard.
He's pushing hard.
He really wants Kageyama to admit that he's in love, because that's his goal. That's Yashiro's goal. He really wants Kageyama to be with Kuga. Like, be in an actual relationship with a man.
Yeah.
And to really push him, Yashiro goes like, well, if you don't want him, I'm going to take him. I wanted to make him my woman anyway.
And then he graphically describes how he wants to shove his cock into him. And he wanted
cries.
To
and make him cry.
Until he cries.
And this is what makes Kageyama snap. So Yashiro knows how to push Kageyama's buttons.
Yeah. I feel like this is like really the moment Yashiro waited for. Like, he really waited to get punched, basically.
Yeah, yeah, he really got punched.
He wanted to see like this side of Kageyama, I feel like.
Yeah, well, he's been in love with him. Mm-hmm. So he probably just likes seeing him emote.
Yeah, I mean, Yashio mentioned that he enjoys observing or like experiencing mm-hmm. things mm-hmm. through like other people and like, I guess, experiencing Kageyama being so in love and so like, not uptight, but so like pumped about this guy. He's really living through that.
He is.
Because he can't make Kageyama be in love. He can't have that look. He can create it himself to see Kageyama be in love. So that's mm-hmm. why he uses Kuga for that.
He wants mm-hmm. to see it.
Yeah.
Poor baby.
It's sad. Mm-hmm. We talked about this in episode 14 mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah. And so, yeah. Kageyama, basically. And then they fuck. And
they fuck. Well, wait. After the revelation.
Dadna's just
on.
Like, then they fuck.
Can it's we go to the... what's it called before you have sex? To the
Foreplay.
Sorry, I had the German word in my head. Can we go back to the foreplay, please? Mm-hmm. Because... Kageyama goes where Kuga is beating up some other guy from Yashiro because I think Kageyama stole the keys from Yashiro because he punched him and he found out where Kuga is and he grabs him, he kisses him and it's like, let's go home. Let's continue this at home. And that's where they pretty much, yeah.
They fuck.
They fuck. And after that, they have a little chat.
Oh my God. This was so funny.
Mm-hmm. Kuga basically tells Kageyama that Yashiro totally bullshitted him and like Yashiro is a bottom bitch. And somehow Kageyama did not know.
No.
He didn't know that Yashiro was a complete bottom. Well, he's said it several times. He's been saying, oh, Yashiro swings both ways for men and women. So I think he just assumed that meant that he like tops or bottoms or both. But now like Kuga's telling no, he's a neko, which is a Japanese word for, you know, a submissive in a gay relationship.
For bottom. For bottom. He's an exclusive bottom. And he didn't know. And this shows again how Kageyama doesn't know Yashiro.
No.
It shows in the movie as well. And we talked about this as well. And it's another little thing that shows how Kageyama really, yeah, he's not that much into Yashiro.
Mm-hmm.
As Yashiro would wish to.
Yashiro also maybe doesn't show him the real, like, all the aspects of him. Because Yashiro is so loud about getting fucked by different members of the Yakuza. Like, I think that if Kageyama didn't know, that maybe Yashiro...
He's the public toilet. How can Kageyama...
Right. How is just he so chooses oblivious?
Not to. Yeah, he just chooses not to. No, or I don't know. He's not... engaging himself deep enough with Yashiro. He's just this high school friend who he's still hanging around with occasionally.
But I still think it's an option that Yashiro maybe makes like not a huge effort, but like minimal effort, like not to talk about this stuff in front of Kageyama, who's supposedly straight at this point. Like, until this point.
It could be. Like, but I feel like hanging around these circles enough, Kageyama would have at least heard, you know, and if he does, he probably just tunes it out because he just doesn't want to think of his friend that way or something, you know?
Yeah.
Who knows?
And that's the OVA.
That's it. They fuck and that's it. And it was good. And they talk.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it starts lovely. With Kuga telling Kageyama he was a virgin. But
yes, Kageyama finds out that he took Kuga's virginity, which is cute. Mm-hmm.
Which we don't know if it's true or
yeah.
not.
Yeah,
I mean, if I don't know why he would say
it's very flirty the way he says it, isn't very like playful.
If they close the episode with that, then I kind of tend to believe it.
Me too.
I don't know.
Because I like the idea that he's this flirty, fucking seductive bitch, you know, that obviously Kageyama's been seeing as some sort of siren, but he's actually not ever actually done it with someone, which is which is adorable to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think that's mm-hmm. it for that episode.
Yeah. I have a question.
Sure. Mm.
Why is it called Don't Stay Gold?
Because no. the chapter is called that way.
Yeah, but why is the chapter called that way?
Why is the chapter named that way?
But why is it called Twittering Birds Never Fly? The clouds gather like no.
I don't know. The clouds gather is like an image for like a storm coming, which kind of makes sense with
maybe.
The plot.
But the first part, feel like you have to stretch quite a bit to find meaning in these titles. And
okay.
I don't know if they actually are relevant. They probably are to the author.
Yeah.
But to us, it's a little obscure.
There are images from the author where she uses a lot of, or they use a lot of bird imagery together with them. And I think it's like something like a bird in a cage that can't fly. They're obviously free. And
yeah. That makes sense with the gold theme, maybe like a golden cage.
Maybe, yes.
We're stretching it real far.
You're
don't
really
stay,
stretching.
Maybe don't stay inside a golden cage. Don't stay gold. I don't know.
We're trying.
We're really trying for you guys. We're figuring this out.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. How did you find this OVA, guys?
I liked it. It was good. It was a good OVA. I wanted more. It left me wanting more, for
yeah.
sure.
Mm-hmm.
But we're getting more.
Yeah. I want mm-hmm. more of these characters.
Yeah.
Well, Kageyama and Kuga.
They're what I want.
I love them.
They're cute.
They are. They mm-hmm. are. And I think I really like Kuga more than Kageyama, because we
yes.
also discussed this in episode 14, so I don't want to go into deep, but I think they both make a good couple. And Kuga finds ways to poke up like Kageyama's grumpy and stuck up dead energy self. And I think they have a healthy dynamic.
Yeah, they're cute. I like mm-hmm. them as a couple. It's rare to see such a innocent, healthy dynamic with characters nowadays. It's kind of refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
And I also, this was, as we mentioned, it was the start of the manga.
Mm-hmm.
And they cut it from the movie. And I understand why they cut it in the movie.
It
and
really didn't make sense in the manga. I was really confused when I read the manga and it was these characters, and then
yes.
it was completely different characters for the rest of the series. I'm like,
yeah,
wait,
but
what?
It makes sense if you see how the story with Yashiro progresses, because...
Well, yeah, because you need to know more about Kageyama
yeah.
and him. And
it makes kind of makes sense to open the manga with this, because it helps frame Yashiro later in the story.
Mm-hmm. I'd say it does to a point, but I feel like what's more important was their past together. I feel like instead of opening like with this couple, like they could have just done like their past together and then like maybe added in Kuga to Kageyama. I don't know.
Yeah, do you want to edit in? Just
I know.
Open it
I know.
With that. It's just.
I was confused when I read it at first.
Yeah,
it was jarring.
It can be confusing, but it makes so much sense later, and it really helps to frame Yashiro. It's not super necessary. Like the movie cut it, and it's fine.
Yeah.
But it's nice to have it. And it's nice that they did this OVA of this chapter that wasn't in the movie so that we can see it, so that people who did not read the manga can can kind of see it
experience
too.
Kuga.
Yes.
Because they were robbed. They were robbed.
The only problem I have with this release, it's a lot of these OVA releases are like this. It was released with the seventh volume of the manga. So if you are movie only, you probably won't get your hands on this OVA anyway, because you don't read the manga. And and I don't understand Japan sometimes. It's a DVD. It's not a Blu-ray. It's a DVD with a DVD standard definition quality. It's like, why?
They don't want to spend like the money to make it in high quality for 20 minutes of content, I feel.
I don't know. As a technical person, like, okay, you do the animation. I mean, it's probably similar quality to the Blu-ray one. After that, it's just like conversion. Like, it's heavy computing to render it, but it's like a one-time thing.
It's the materials, because they have to buy the materials and then sell them. It's cheaper to buy a DVD.
Okay.
It's a limited,
but fuck,
special
Japan
edition
for, like,
release anyway.
DVD.
So just slap a special price on it and you're good. I don't understand how.
Right.
But Japan sometimes is kind of stuck in the past in a certain
many
certain
ways.
Yeah.
So
certain
many
ways.
Ways.
So maybe if all three movies are out and they do like a super special Blu-ray collection release, box release or something, they
we'll
will
get the
add
LVA
it as an extra
quality.
And we have like a really good quality of this thing. But for now, it's DVD only and it's sad.
It's sad.
Because the quality isn't, I think it's not as high as the movie. But it's still good.
It's good
production.
For 480 pixels.
I've seen,
it could
be
worse.
I've seen worse. Like these OVA releases that are usually accompanied with mangas are, they're not always the best production quality. But this one is nice. It's nice. And we can only hope that we get somehow something like a better quality of this thing. This is the only thing that really bugs me, but I'm happy that we get to see it animated, and I'm happy that we have this little snippet of the Twittering Bird story that helps frame some things in it and helps to see Yashiro as well in a different light.
I really liked it, and the entire series is so well written, and there's so much humor, and the characters are so easy to fall in love with, and the story is just so great, really. And it's also like very consistent with the movie, like the animation and the music style and the character design. It could have been like a part of the movie and I couldn't tell. You can really see it was done by the same people, basically. The thing I'm not a fan of is, like, they took the first 3 minutes of the movie and that's what we start with, and only like minute 3 onwards we get something new, and that's like, that's a lot out of like
out of
20
minutes, like
minute OVA. I would have preferred like an quote-unquote anime original start of it, because I kind of trust the crew. I trust the people who make it to make something good, and I'd rather not see something that was already a part of the movie.
Or they could have used that to make a more detailed sex scene or something.
It adds, but doing or introducing or starting this OVA this way also keeps to sort in where this takes place. Or how this came from. it's hard to start differently.
Or,
I mean,
or it's like a refresher, like, oh yeah, remember this character and what he was doing here. This, yeah, I feel like there probably didn't need to be 3 whole minutes of that.
Yeah, they could have shortened it. And I'm greedy. I want
the only difference is that you don't have Yashiro's monologue, because in the movie you have Yashiro's monologue and it doesn't play out completely, the scene.
Oh, okay.
You know, you just have Kagayama seeing, and then you have this glam shot of bloody Kuga with his fist and everything, and then you have Yashiro's monologue, and I think, if I remember correctly, the scene cuts.
But
it's hard to kind of ease into this story otherwise. Mm-hmm. But I see, yeah, maybe they could have done something else, but it's probably not as hard. And this is a very faithful adaptation of this chapter.
Yeah, yes. I really wanted to ask if there was anything that was missing from Dalvin. Nothing.
Every detail, every line of dialogue, every frame, it's a one-to-one adaptation of the chapter.
Mm-hmm. That's nice.
That's nice, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do we have anything to add?
No. I think I covered everything.
That's all the time we have for today. Thank you so much for joining us and listening. And if you like this episode, please give us a good rating, leave us a comment, or check us out on Twitter or Instagram for updates. Mm-hmm. You can find us at Fujoshi Weekly. Until next time, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.